You're listening to the Americans for Truth Hour with your host, Peter LaBarbera. Each week, you'll hear compelling interviews with everyday heroes on the front lines of the culture war. People who put faith and truth above the lies of political correctness. Americans for Truth Hour will help you to stay informed and engaged on the side of life, marriage, and the God-ordained family. Please stand with us as we work to make America, in the words of President Ronald Reagan, a shining city on the hill. And once again, one nation under God. And now, here's Peter LaBarbera.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Americans for Truth Hour. We are a show that brings you frontline warriors. And today we've got a couple of frontline warriors in the battle against the homosexual activism. Americans for Truth is a single-issue organization devoted to opposing the homosexual activist movement. We've been around for a while, but we've only been full-time since 2007. And we're based outside Chicago in Carroll Stream, Illinois. And we are having a very important event coming up August 5 to 7 that I want you to be aware of and to bring students and older people to as well. It's called the Americans for Truth Academy, and we're bringing together some of the leading family experts on homosexuality to teach both young and old how to answer the lies of the gay and lesbian movement. The Truth Academy will reverse the goal is to sort of answer the pro-gay brainwashing that's been going on in the culture, and it's a very serious issue because I don't know about our two guests, but I know that I've been doing a little bit of a experiment talking to conservative kids about homosexual issues, and I find that even conservative, self-identified conservative kids or evangelical kids, Catholic kids, I'm talking people who would say that they're serious about their faith, are woefully misinformed about the homosexual activist movement. They are ill-equipped to answer some of the claims of the movement, basing civil rights on homosexuality. Some are pro-gay marriage even. It's appalling, and that's why we're holding this Truth Academy. It's going to be held August 5 to 7, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, three full days, rigorous training here. It's going to be held. We've changed the location to Christian Liberty Academy, which is in Arlington Heights. Christian Liberty Academy is a Christian school. You can go to their website. Just Google Christian Liberty Academy. It will be held at the Academy, and we're bringing together some wonderful experts. Robert Knight, who's with Coral Ridge Ministries. Matt Barber, he's the person who was fired by Allstate because he wrote an article critical of homosexuality on his own time. We've got Lori Higgins from Illinois Family Institute. We've got Rob Gagnon, who's the world's leading authority on the Bible and homosexuality. We've got Greg Quinlan, who is ex-gay, and many young people have never met, and many old people have never met an ex-gay. And so we're bringing all these speakers in August 5 to 7. Youth age 14 to 25 can come for free. We're asking other people. We're asking for $199 for the full three-day seminar, but we don't want money to be an obstacle. So please go to our website, americansfortruth.org. That's americansfortruth.org. Go to the button, the Truth Academy on the right side, upper right corner. Click that button and you'll get information on the Academy. And please try to come for all 3 days if you can, but for even one day if you can't. You will benefit from it and you will be more equipped to answer the misinformation that comes out of the so-called gay movement. Well, our guests today are two people I respect for actually living out what they believe. Today I'll be talking to John McCartney and Wayne Lila. Wayne, am I pronouncing that right?
Yes.
Okay. and these two guys, and I know John better than Wayne. I'll say John and I have gone back, known each other for a number of years. But actually, I heard of them when I was working in Washington, D.C. But what they do is they actually try to reach young people with the truth about homosexuality, which is rather extraordinary in our culture, the culture of people saying, hey, I'm just not going to get involved. You know, it's sort of like, we see a train, a car accident, but, oh, I'm not going to get involved. It's the same way with the culture. And so we're talking to John McCartney. John, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you.
And Wayne Lila. And you guys, first of all, tell me a little bit about yourself. John, start with you.
Well, I'm I've retired inner city high school teacher. I taught at Marshall High School on the west side of Chicago for 27 years. I've been active in the pro-life movement for even longer than that. I work with a group called the Hahn High School Project, and we pass out abstinence and pro-life packets outside of high schools every Tuesday during the school year if the weather is clement and not raining and so forth. I have 4 children. I'm a widower. I lost my wife last October. And I'm an English teacher and I enjoy writing, and I do some of that for the cause of pro-life and abstinence. And I also worked on a foundation-supported, a congressionally funded program on abstinence. I helped write an abstinence manual, so I've had some experience there.
John, how did you get hooked up with Wayne and doing this thing of answering the homosexual agenda?
It's not a long story. A friend of mine had a sister who was active in the pro-life movement, and she somehow became acquainted with Wayne. And I think at that time, gay activists were being very abusive to pro-life people. And as they were demonstrating or praying outside these abortion centers, and I heard about that.
That's sort of odd. What does homosexuality have to do with abortion?
Well, there's a negative attitude towards life in the homosexual lesbian community, and there's some tie-in. Many of them are just angry people that they're hurting, and they want to get their message across that that life is not beautiful.
This is my body. I'm going to do what I want with it. That's obviously the common point.
They paired up with the radical feminists and were very insulting to pro-life people. And I'm Irish, and I don't like to be pushed around. If someone says I can't do something and I feel it's just justified and, you know, to do it, I rebel. And this plays a part. I believe almost everything that comes from the gay activist is deceptive. I feel they've tried to suppress all negative information about the lifestyle, and actually try to brainwash society, because that suppression of the negative and then flooding the positive misinformation over us, and then attacking anyone that comes forward with the negative information, like the fact that half of all new HIV infections are from men who have sex with men, and suppress that, I think that works against the public health and the common good.
Now, but right before I get to Wayne, John, you are a lifelong Catholic?
Yes, yes.
So you're a committed Catholic. Wayne, tell us about yourself.
excuse me. I've been a writer, a social and political activist for years. As you know, Peter, you've seen me at Taproot Republican meetings. Just not happy with the direction society is going in, and that's what motivated me to get involved on a whole number of issues.
Now, did you found this organization, HOME?
Yes.
Heterosexuals Organized for a Moral Environment.
Yes, I did.
When did you do that?
Geez, probably a good 20 years ago. I mean, it's been a long time.
Right.
I don't have the date with me, but
right.
I've been active on homosexual issues for about 30 years, but this is not full time.
How did you get involved in that?
Just like I got involved in a lot of other issues.
You saw something you didn't agree with, and you see it being pushed in the culture, and you felt compelled to answer it.
Yeah, yeah. And I found that their arguments so defective that, you know, I forget, we've got to answer this. You know,
right.
I mean, if they were persuasive, then I might have been persuaded. But I haven't been persuaded, and I just feel this needs to be opposed, just like John feels it should be opposed.
Now, what is your religious background, Wayne?
I was actually raised Catholic, but I am no longer a practicing Catholic or religious at all. I'm an agnostic.
So you're not part of the vast conspiracy called the religious right?
No, I'm not. No. Although they might try to paint me as a...
That's the thing, because I think it's interesting that, you know, I'm always careful to say that I don't believe that Christians should be the only ones who get to have, for example, an exemption to homosexual activist laws. Why would it be just to say that Christians don't have to approve of homosexuality, whereas other Americans who have the same moral objection to homosexual behavior, somehow they're covered. They don't have the right to resist this this agenda.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that's a canard that is, you know, it's the religious right, And as we know, there are many people who like you, just oppose this lifestyle and its promotion. They don't want it shoved down their throat.
And the exemption for the religious right is only going to be temporary.
Exactly.
You know, it's...
Go ahead, John.
Let me ask Wayne a question. Didn't you run into some pretty aggressive homosexuals in college and gave you a lot of trouble?
Yeah, I was recruited, actually, when I was in college.
Now, where did you go to school?
St. Mary's. It was a Catholic school, believe it or not. All-male school, Catholic school, St. Mary's College in Winona, Minnesota. There was a woman's college, St. Teresa's, in the same town, but they were several miles apart. And I don't know how many homosexuals there were at the school, but there were some.
Give me a time and range.
I went to college from 67 to 71.
Okay.
During the Vietnam War, that whole thing.
So what happened?
Well, back then, homosexuals were much more in the closet. I fell in with the wrong crowd of people. I fell in with some people who I did not know were homosexuals. Okay. And, I was into the whole rebellious, psychedelic rock and roll thing.
Oh, hold on, Wayne. We'll get to that. We got a break coming up. We're talking to John McCartney and Wayne Lila. These are two men who have gone out to colleges, local colleges in the Chicago area, and trying to teach young people about the realities of homosexuality itself and the homosexual activist agenda. I'm Peter LaBarber. You're listening to the Americans for Truth Hour. Our website is americansfortruth.org. We'll be back in a minute. You're listening to the Americans for Truth Hour. My name is Peter LaBarbera, and we're talking to John McCartney and Wayne Lila, two Chicago area pro-family activists. And they go out to local colleges and they educate young people about the realities of homosexuality. Wayne, you were talking about your experience at St. Mary's College back in the 60s. Tell us what happened.
It's a long story, but I'll make it short. Basically, I just fell in with people who were opposing the Vietnam War. But they were also into, you know, the Beatles, Jimi Hendrix, the whole, say, sex, drugs, and rock and roll thing. And, you know, I did go into my little marijuana phase with them, and I took some LSD at the time. But the thing that that I remember the most is that back then, a lot of the propaganda was homosexuals do not recruit. Well, I was being recruited. You know, so I knew, at least in my case, that this was just pure.
How were they trying to recruit you? How would you describe that?
It took, because back then they just did not come out of the closet. So, Peter, I tell you what, we could do a whole show just on. It was a very complicated, lengthy process where they slowly came out of the closet. Before they even told me they were homosexual, two men actually kissed in front of me at a party. And it was news to me because I had no clue. But I was kind of naive back then. Maybe I should have been picking up on some of this stuff, but I didn't. It took me quite a while to realize I was in with some people who were sexually alternative. Mm-hmm. You know,
We just heard last week. You guys haven't heard the interview, but it's up on the website, americansfortruth.org. Just click the Americans for Truth Hour button on the right side of our website. But we had Linda Jernigan, who's an African-American woman, had this woman who was supposed to be her mentor. And the woman started talking about inappropriately about her sexual escapades. Then she started asking Linda questions. And before you know it, then, you know, so you get this feeling of testing. It's sort of like a testing and they're pushing the limits. You expand it a little bit more. Now, you're in college. What I fear is what happens if this to a teenage kid who this happens to. You know, this is how I think teenagers are recruited into the movement.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Testing and of course we know that from the public record that homosexual activists. I mean, men talk about that they like straight acting guys. So, but anyways, do you? So how did you get out of that situation, and what impact did that sort of give you that concern for your lifelong concern for answering this movement?
It definitely got me started. I don't think it has plays much of a role now as to why I'm active on the issue, because I'm active on a lot of issues. And I haven't been, you know, like the pro-gun people and the anti-gun people, they haven't, you know, impacted me directly, personally. It hasn't been the same thing. I'm just active on issues because it's important to be active on issues.
But didn't they kind of persecute you, isolate you?
Well, once I found out that they were sexually alternative, I started to, you might say, debate them. We started to see who could defend their positions better. And neither one of us were very good at the time because we're just kids, you know. But we did have our disagreements, and we, because of the disagreements and we could not resolve them, we just drifted apart. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I had some negative experiences, no question about it.
What was the worst of it?
Oh, the worst of it. Again, Peter, this went on for several months.
Sure.
So, I mean, it's a long story. But the worst of it, one day I was taken, and I'm not obviously encouraging people to do this, but I was on LSD. And, you know, every once in a while we would do this. We would take LSD.
Yes,
and listen,
we'll state for the record that the Americans for Truth opposes the use of psychedelic drugs. Okay. But you're in your rebellious stage.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
And what happened was this one night, you've heard of the term mind games, and actually John Lennon had a song, you know, Mind Games, and they talk about playing mind games in the song. You know, let's keep playing these mind games forever. Well, one night I'm on LSD with my friends, and they were playing mind games with me, and it's a very complicated subject, Peter, but anyway, you've heard people have bad trips. I think the mind games that people can play on you when you're on LSD can give you a bad trip. And you do not want a bad trip because you've heard some people commit suicide. I mean, they would just jump out a window when they have this bad reaction. That almost happened to me. You know, and I'm sure they did not intend that to happen. But when you're on drugs, you don't know what's going to happen. And they were playing these games, and I had this bad reaction, and I almost went out the window. And that kind of weaned me off of the drugs pretty quickly, you know. And it also, I started to avoid them much more because of that, you know. But it's just not that simple.
Yeah.
And again, yes, that did have an effect on me, but I don't believe it plays much of a role today as why I'm active on homosexuality.
Yeah, understood, you know. But I think it's interesting that there is a pressure that's brought. I think, for example, one issue, and I noticed, Wayne, you had written an article about lesbian peer pressure, which I found on the web. And, there are things that are going on that the media just does not to talk about.
Right.
And I think for one issue, and John, I'd like to hear your thoughts on this, but I mean, there's no discussion whatsoever about some of the lesbian pressure on young girls. You get girls, for example, who are good at sports. They go into sports. They are still feminine girls.
Mm-hmm.
They are normal girls. And there is a pressure that can be brought by aggressive women. Now we're not saying all aggressive women are lesbians,
but
there is a sort of pushiness. And there can be girls hitting on other girls or guys hitting on guys inappropriately. And yet somehow this issue is not discussed. It's not relevant to the overall debate on homosexuality because basically now the media has decided that nothing that is critical of homosexuality is relevant to the debate. And that's one of the reasons I wanted you guys to come on the show, because you're actually trying to answer the media. You know that you can't. You write letters to the editor. You do try to get into the press, which is very difficult. It takes work. But you also go directly out to the people. And I think maybe that's something that we as Americans who care about this issue are going to have to do more of. So when did this start, where you actually went out to colleges? John?
Well, Wayne was going out on his own for a number of years, and when I made contact with him, I said, "Well, Wayne, why don't I said I understand that these community colleges have a charter where they have to do public outreach. Why don't we try to take advantage of that?" So we went to Triton. I don't know. It took us a year and a half. we got to the contacted the Rutherford Institute, which is like the Alliance Defense Fund. You've heard of the Rutherford
yes, yes.
Institute. And we said, we feel we should be able to get into this particular community college and debate the students and teachers in the free speech area. Would you write us a letter? So we went out, we went back to the school, and they had acknowledged they'd gotten a letter. To make a long story short, we did this over a period of months. Wayne, you can correct me. And so we, the Institute advised us to test it. So we went there this one day after they'd Rutherford had communicated with them.
Which college is this?
This is Triton.
Where is Triton? Is that outside Chicago?
It's in River Grove,
okay. Outside
Chicago.
It's a community college.
Yes, yes. So we went in, and we started passing out material, and the security came over and said, you can't do this. And we said, we're going to do it. We've gone through the office and done everything right, and they won't let us. So we're doing it. So it's your move. So the lawyer at the college, their legal advisor, came running out down the aisle. He said, give them a table. Give them a table. Give them a table.
That's so he knew that legally they were not on the solid ground.
No.
Right.
So we've gone back there, Wayne, how many years since 97 or 90?
How many times have you gone? How many outreaches have you done to local area colleges?
All right. We try to do, again, we're not full-time.
Sure,
at this.
Sure.
We try to do approximately 10 colleges a year. Mm-hmm. Over 2 years, we try to do 20 different schools. Over 2 years. So we try to go to each school every, of the 20, every 2 years. Mm-hmm. So we'll be at COD, say, you know, in 2008, and then we'll go back in 2010. We'll mm-hmm. go to Triton maybe in 2009, and we'll go in 2011, you know, things like that. And we've had some incredibly good experiences. I mean, we've talked to people who originally they would come up to the table, be very angry because they had all these stereotypes about us. But once they sat down and talked with us and found out, hey, you know, these guys, they're not name callers, they're not haters, they've done their homework, they can carry on a reasonable debate, you know, and they could defend their position pretty well. And we've had some people that they've just changed. I mean, we don't know the long-term effects, obviously, but I mean, they've gone from being angry people to being people who were sitting there calmly discussing the issues with us and realizing we have some valid points.
Right. So you must have been called a homophobe more than once.
Oh, and the F word and you MF. I mean, you name it, we've been called it.
Right. You know? But you persevere. We got a minute left, John.
Usually by faculty more so than the students. And one place we were at.
You mean your name called by the faculty? Or treated hostily by the
ASS, so forth.
By the faculty.
Yes.
Well, that's wonderful.
And one place we were at, there's this female faculty member was running. We were seated.
Elmhurst College.
We were seated by palms like a little oasis. And this one woman went off, and she was circling the oasis, screaming, I'm offended, I'm offended. She's just circling her.
Oh, yeah. You should have had a video there, Peter. You would have enjoyed that one.
Well, I do think we should start videoing these. It's just amazing. But, well, you know, we're talking to John McCarty and Wayne Lila. We just learned that the faculty is often hostile to them, just talking about the issue from a conservative perspective, which is appalling. But we got a break coming up here, Wayne.
All right.
We're talking to Wayne Lila and John McCarty. This is the Americans for Truth Hour. Americans for Truth is hosting its Americans for Truth Academy August 5 to 7 at Christian Liberty Academy. That's August 5 to 7. You can get information on the website at americansfortruth.org. We'll be right back.
Are you sick and tired of homosexuality and gay marriage being celebrated by the liberal media and popular culture? Do you worry about the radical gay agenda being pushed on young children in schools? Are you worried that the gay movement will destroy America's religious freedoms? And are you offended that Christians are called bigots and homophobes just because they agree with God that homosexual behavior is wrong? Americans for Truth About Homosexuality is a single-issue group devoted to exposing and fighting the gay agenda. They are not about hate, but love for God's truth. They are Christians, so instead of celebrating homosexuality, they lift up the many ex-gays who have left it behind and now lead godly lives through Christ. But Americans for Truth needs your help. The gay lobby has lots of money, power, and media support, but it lacks truth. Please help keep this show on the air and educate America about the dangerous goals of this anti-Christian movement. Make your tax-deductible gift online today at AmericansForTruth.com. That's AmericansForTruth.com.
Everybody, you're listening to our interview with John McCartney and Wayne Lila. I'm Peter LaBarbera of Americans for Truth. We are a single-issue organization devoted to opposing the very powerful and influential homosexual activist movement. Our website is Americans for Truth, all written out, AmericansForTruth.org. And we've got our Truth Academy coming up. It's going to be held at the Christian Liberty Academy in Arlington Heights. Christian Liberty Academy, August 5 to 7. Young people can attend for free. We're defining young people as age 14 to 25, so sort of a flexible definition of young people. But we want youth to learn how to respond to the gay agenda. And I wanted Wayne and John on the show because they've actually gone out there, as very, very few pro-family activists have done, and they've gone out to the schools to try to reach young people with a message that they know they're not hearing. Now, Wayne, talk to me about this. The faculty, now we're talking institutions of, quote, higher learning, mm-hmm. where there's supposed to be a free debate of ideas, and yet you have people, professors coming out, and they're basically afraid, they're more afraid of you because you're not screaming homophobes.
Right,
you're
right.
You're not even a preacher standing at the, yelling with a bullhorn. You are people who are coming out to give the other side of an intellectual debate mm-hmm. about the practice of homosexuality. So mm-hmm. tell us about these professors who are coming at you.
These professors, we feel, are more threatened by us than the students because they're the professionals. They're supposed to know more than the students. They have more experience. They've had more education. They're supposed to be able to defend their position better because they've had more education and more experience. Well, we come on campus and we basically just nuke all their pro-homosexual arguments. They're not happy. And so we can get some pretty extreme reactions. We've had teachers who want to ban us from campus. They'll go to the administration. Why are you allowing these haters on campus? It violates school policy. And we have to, we have to deal with those kind of criticisms.
Now, Wayne, when they say violate student policy, they're talking about these pro-gay non-discrimination codes.
Yes.
And sometimes they're even speech codes. I'm sure
right.
you've been at colleges that have these
yes.
so-called hate speech codes.
Mm-hmm.
And yet you've already secured the position, in most cases, correct?
Yes.
Do you do that every time so that you say, hey, we have permission to be here, or do you just now just go?
Oh, no. Well, it depends. Some schools that we do, like DePaul or Loyola, they do not allow us on campus.
Because they're private institutions?
Yes.
So
yes.
How do you work those?
We go to a school, a public street corner
okay.
by the school
right.
where there's a lot of student traffic
right.
and we just pass out flyers.
Have
there.
You still been harassed just doing that?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, yeah.
What happened there?
One time there was a fellow in a Spider-Man costume.
Yes, swear to God. Swear to God.
he was saying, you homophobes, and I won't repeat some of the things he was saying, very aggressive.
And he was a theater student, just to okay. explain
as,
why
as
he was
doing that, some Muslim male Palestinian students came by and said they said something to him that frightened him, like we're going to bash your head against the wall or something. Get out of here, you crazy! And so he came back later, I think that day, and gradually kind of won him over that he would pass us by and just kind of a scowl in subsequent years. And I even got to talking to him about going to the police academy and being a policeman. But the first time, it was kind of scary. We thought this guy might have a meat cleaver or something under his...
What was he doing? Jumping up and down and yelling?
No, he came at us like Spider-Man, with a costume. And prior to that, some women, probably a lesbian, approached a police officer, get these people out of here. They're creating hatred and all. And the police officer walked away and... the police officer knows it's a public thoroughfare and we're following a lawyer's advice as to how to behave, and we just do it. And
what do you pass out, you guys?
We have three flyers. One's called The Uncensored Truth About Homosexuality. Another one is called Gay Activism and Freedom of Speech and Religion. And the other one is called Gay Pride: A Contradiction.
Now, all of these are available on a website, Wayne?
Yes.
Give the website.
Home, H-O-M-E, 60515.com.
And there's, okay, let me repeat that. Okay. Home, 60515.com, which stands for home, in case you were wondering, is Heterosexuals Organized for a Moral Environment. And have you guys been, by the way, have you been condemned as a hate group by the SPLC?
Yes, we have.
Okay, now what and we've been condemned as a hate site, but you guys were beat us to the punch. What happened there?
I don't know.
You don't seem like a couple of hateful guys to me. You're sitting here laughing. You're talking about how you're, you know, this is so disgusting. This, I should say, insidious, this redefinition of hate. You know, so you guys go out, you mm-hmm. want to make an intellectual argument, and you're immediately accused of hate.
Right.
And the thing that really troubles me is by professors, people who are in the business of intellectual inquiry, and they're calling you haters.
And they want to censor us, yeah. You know, and the thing is, once they get to know us, though, you know, to get serious for a second, we know that a lot of homosexuals are troubled people. I mean, they've had maybe bad parents, dysfunctional parents, maybe they were sexually abused. You know, I mean, we know that some of the homosexual community, they're suffering people. So John and I go out of our way to try to be as gentle in our opposition to their lifestyle as possible, because we know some of them might, you know, they might be depressed. And we do not want to drive them to do anything rash. You know?
Do you find that the students who would identify as gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, do you ever have meaningful discussions with them on,
yes,
you know, about, I guess, the purpose of life? And it probably gets pretty deep.
Not so much the purpose of life. I mean, we've had so many discussions over the years. I'm sure we might have gotten into that once or twice, you know, but it's mostly about homosexual issues.
But do you tell them, for example, that there are many ex-gays, that there are people who've left the lifestyle?
Yes.
How do they react to that?
They would say something along the lines of they were probably never gay to begin with.
Right. It's sort of a syllogism. I mean, I call it gay fundamentalism. Anything that doesn't fit the preordained gay activist argument is automatically dismissed. Okay, if they're ex-gays, oh, they never were gay.
Yeah.
You know, it's sort of like they have their own fundamentals that they can't break from.
That's correct.
I mean, they harp on the religious right and the fundamentalists, but they have their own fundamentals that they will not depart from.
They have their own prejudices. They can justify discrimination. I mean, they have, they'll never live in an alternative universe. I mean, they really are.
Let's get serious. We have 4 minutes to the next break, but I do want to talk about this case because we just posted on our website at AmericansForTruth.org. The Chicago Liberation Network, a leader there named Bob Schwartz, who's a very angry guy, identifies as a Trotskyite. He wrote me an email and said, I support the firing of Kenneth Howell, who is a professor at University of Illinois. He's a Catholic professor. He was hired to teach Catholicism. He wrote an email about natural moral law, and he was fired by the university. Now,
hate speech.
A student complained. Actually, the friend of a student wrote an email and said, hey, this guy, this is hate speech. This is absurd, the arguments. She was objecting to the very clear arguments he made using natural moral law arguments, and he was fired. Now, this is under review mm-hmm. by the University of Illinois. Yet the Gay Liberation Network, which is a very powerful in the media, they get a lot of media attention. They're a small group that protests. They're based in Chicago. Bob Schwartz from that organization supported the firing of a Catholic instructor. And I wrote him back. I said, gee, Bob, if it was a gay professor, who was hired to teach gay rights, maybe gay rights 101 to his students. And he wrote an email explaining gay rights. And maybe a Christian wrote and said, I don't think this guy should be at our school. And he was fired. Can you imagine the outcry by the homosexual activists? And yet this mm-hmm. guy is saying he supports the firing of a Catholic instructor.
Well, yeah. I think, if I may say, the flyer that I designed, of course, Wayne had contributed to it, takes a position that gay activism is a threat to freedom of speech and religion, which it is. And a lot of these non-discrimination codes are just they're set up to do just what happened to Mr. Howell. As you probably know, in Canada, there was one Catholic bishop who enunciated the church's teaching on same-sex marriage in his cathedral. There were two homosexual lovers there. They went to the local Human Rights Tribunal, and he pressed a complaint. This bishop was called before the tribunal, and he stood his ground, and they backed off because the Catholic Church in Canada is kind of moribund. It's like, you know, figuratively a mangy dog, but it still can, if you kick it enough, it'll come alive, you know. And there have been many instances of Canada where a minister or a priest has just lived out the doctrine of his church and then been persecuted by the so-called human rights tribunals. I think that this is the same thing. This is just a tip of the iceberg, what you saw down in Champaign-Urbana. I think they want to censor. We're free to say what we think is immoral. There are defamation laws,
But John, the movement is moving more and more towards a hate speech, hate speech position. And yes. You guys, I think, deserve to be commended because you are standing for what you believe. And, so many people these days do not get involved. But the reality is that if the homosexual, that portion of the homosexual lobby succeeds in winning these hate speech laws, you guys could one day be arrested for hate speech merely for dispensing flyers that argue against homosexuality.
We could not do this in Canada. We would be arrested.
Or France.
Your flyers would probably be taken at the border if you tried to go to Canada.
Yeah, yeah.
In fact, I would like to one day hold a Truth Academy in Canada and see what happens. But we're talking to Wayne Leland, John McCartney, two brave men who actually go out on the streets to educate young people about homosexuality and the evils of gay activism. We hope they'll be at our academy at Truth Academy August 5 to 7. You can go to our website at AmericansForTruth.org to get more information about that. We'll be right back with Wayne and John in a minute. Hello, everybody. This is the Americans for Truth Hour. I'm Peter LaBarbera. We're talking to two Chicago men, John McCartney and Wayne Leela. They have a group called Home, and the website is home60515.com. That's home60515.com. And there you can get the flyers that they pass out to students at local colleges in the Chicago area. And they're trying to answer some of the arguments that the kids hear about homosexuality all the time. The kids are inundated these days with gay propaganda. And I want to ask both of you, John, you first, then Wayne. What are the common misconceptions you're hearing from students and the cliches and the arguments that you're hearing students when you go out and talk with them?
Well, they mention it's an alternative lifestyle, and that mostly their remarks are directed at us, that we're homophobic and we're generating hatred and all. They're stereotypical. And I was going to mention when we prove them wrong, they have nothing to say because they've been getting by, and their professors and the gay activists, on intimidating people. And when you come at them, they get angry because they have nothing to say, can't counter what you're saying.
Okay, let me clarify that. So basically, the intimidation is a lot of what they do is based on intimidation. When you get beyond that, you say, look, we're here, we're going to talk about it. They don't have the intellectual heft to be able to answer you.
Right. They've never had to defend their position before. Really, because it's accepted in society now. The propaganda, the TV shows, it's just, it's the new thing. But we come on campus, we've got well-developed arguments. One group actually says, would you please let us know when you're coming on campus so we can prepare for you? Because otherwise, they're not prepared.
Now, Wayne, tell me about some of the arguments you've heard and the things that you're hearing from students. And what's the mindset of kids these days in this issue?
Well, I have to go along with John. They don't really have good arguments. What they do, I find, is try to poke holes in ours. If we say—
Example. Give me an example.
Where do you get your statistics from? Are they all biased sources? Right. We hear, for example, we've heard for years homosexuals are 10% of the population. Well, we try to blow that up, and we use Psychology Today magazine, which is a mainstream pro-homosexual publication.
What did Psychology Today say the percentage was?
All right, it's
we know the percentage is 1 to 3%. And there are many sources that have, I think, actually an institution, a research institution in Chicago, affiliated with the University of Chicago, put the number very low. So, yeah, that's just one. And that's actually one that's less serious than some of the other misinformation. Mm-hmm. What about ex-gays, Wayne? Are they, do you find people persuaded that, I mean, look, there are people who go into homosexuality and they get out of it.
There's a song, I don't know if you heard it, by Katy Perry called I Kissed a Girl.
Yeah.
And it's about how a straight girl experiments with kissing another girl. And when I bring that song up to homosexuals in the context of people can change, you know, maybe people can change here. Homosexuals have actually said to me, I hate that song because it so misrepresents what we stand for, because they say they can't change, that they were born this, even though nobody's found a gay gene yet, but they say that they feel that they were born this way and they can't change, that their orientation is set and there's nothing they can do about it.
Right.
And you know,
despite the evidence that's out there,
that's
of
right.
so many people, and we've interviewed some on this radio show who have changed, they still, they have so much invested in
the
idea.
What about the people that are 40, the straight people? 40, 50 years old, and all of a sudden they become homosexual when they're 50? You know, what's that about? Is that a change, or were they born homosexual and they just didn't know it for 40 or 50 years?
Right.
There's a lot of evidence that people can change.
I got a question for you. Over the years, you've done this number of years now, over 10 years. Have you seen the attitudes change, get worse? What's the change that's going on? Is it even more pro-gay now than when you started?
Well, yes, because the media is even more pushing it. I mean, we're fighting an uphill battle. There's no question. We think there's power in truth, and so we're just going to keep telling the truth. And it might take 50, 100, 1,000 years. Who knows? You know, I mean,
the truth doesn't change, and you're right. And it is an uphill battle precisely because they've got the media covering them.
Yeah.
John, you know how it is. Chicago has some of the most notoriously biased pro-gay media we've encountered this time and time again.
John, sure. Tell them about how we've been censored, how we used to get our letters in and they just don't.
The Sun-Times has stopped taking any letters. I would say 99% of the letters that come in
on homosexuality?
Yes, are not printed. And I think it has to do with radical feminists and gay activists in advertising who can shunt direct advertising elsewhere. I think that's...
When did you pick this up? Because you did at one time get your letters published.
Right. Right.
Now, you're saying that you've seen a conscious trend now of rejecting your letters.
Oh, yeah. It's been years since either one of us have been in the Sun-Times or the Tribune on homosexuality.
Now, how many letters have you submitted in that time?
Oh, I send them a letter just for the heck of it once every couple of weeks. But I'll send it to other newspapers, too. You know, they don't know I'm sending it to other newspapers,
but I'll do it. And you will get... And it's been years since you've been published in either the Tribune or the Sun-Times.
Yes, on homosexuality.
Yeah.
I did have one on healthcare published in the Sun-Times, say 2 or 3 years ago.
This is what I find fascinating, is there is becoming really, I don't think it's really an exaggeration to call it a sort of a homo-fascist attitude in which no position is tolerated that objects to homosexuality.
Let me tell you a quick experience I had in the Sun-Times on the homosexual issue. I submitted a letter some years ago to them because of a story they ran. A homosexual also submitted a letter. So what they did was they on their editorial page, they outlined a box and they put some of the words of the homosexual in the box and they put some of my words in the box. They deleted about 2/3 of my letter. I mean, they just butchered it. And what they cut out actually made me look like I was totally unreasonable because of what they cut out. Mm-hmm. You know, what they left in versus what they cut out. It just made me seem like a goofy guy, you know. And they gave the homosexual's letter 3 times as much space in that box. So somebody went out of their way to make a homosexual look really good and me really bad.
It's actually quite petty and it's so intellectually dishonest. And yet you guys have seen the repercussions of intellectual dishonesty in your work.
Let me say this. I think I mentioned this before, but there are 3 elements of brainwashing regarding communism. Rule out the negative, drown the victim with positive and go after anyone that tries to introduce a negative information about communism, homosexuality, socialism, whatever.
And we're actually seeing that at work.
It's at work.
A brainwashing technique,
and a big thing is highlight
the negatives of people like you, people like me, and of course, Americans for Truth gets tons of hate mail, and don't dwell on those negatives in the homosexual activist movement.
Right.
Look what happened to Dr. Cameron.
We just see so many people if they're taking a stand, are targeted. Mm-hmm. Now, where are you going to go next year, Wayne? We got a minute left before we go.
I'd have to look at the list, but we got 10 colleges. We do approximately 10 every year.
Well, I just want to say something that I think this is the kind of thing that we're going to have to do now. The media has made it clear that they are essentially a pro-homosexual outfit. In various ways, they will not tolerate dissent in this issue. And so it's going to have to take Americans exercising their First Amendment right to go out and speak the truth. John, thanks so much for being on the show.
You're welcome. You're welcome.
And Wayne, thank you.
Thank you, Peter.
Thank you for the work that you do. I hope to see these men, and I hope many listeners as well, at our Truth Academy, which is coming up August 5 to 7. That's Thursday, Friday, Saturday, the first week of August. Go to our website, AmericansForTruth.org. Hit the Truth Academy button. We're going to have some excellent speakers, Bob Knight, Matt Barber, Lori Higgins from Illinois Family Institute. And you'll get a chance to meet these men, I think, because they are doing something that Americans need to do, which is go out in the culture and defend truth. Truth is valuable, and it must be defended. I'm Peter LaBarber with Americans for Truth. Our website again, AmericansForTruth.org. Thank you.
This was the Americans for Truth Hour with your host, Peter LaBarbera. Tune in Saturdays at 11 p.m. to hear compelling interviews with everyday heroes on the front lines of the culture war. People who put faith and truth above the lies of political correctness. Stay informed and engaged on the issues of life, marriage, and the God-ordained family. Please stand with them as they work to make America, in the words of President Ronald Reagan, a shining city on the hill. And once again, one nation under God. The Americans for Truth Hour, Saturdays at 11 p.m. on AM 1160.